can have an ongoing problem with certain vibrations. Here the most problematic is the recording device. The trunk of my body feels like it is vibrating as the hum is and moving into the room. Later it returns a course of vibration lengths. When I get some concentration and I can see the fear, doubt, and thoughts that arise, and sometimes meet them skillfully, at other times I lose skillful means. Any suggestions would be most gratefully received. I think by tuning into the say the body itself, just recognizing that we can influence the feelings around us, and particularly internally, in the sense of if something is agitating, then one can pay attention to something like the breath or the feeling somewhere in the body. It's like picking a spot that feels comfortable, like bringing one's attention to a place that feels at ease. Because what happens is it's easy for the mind to hone in on something that we maybe are irritated by or feel uncomfortable with. And then that's what grabs attention. But the conscious directing of attention to something that is more soothing, more comfortable, it's a necessary part of just living a human life, because we're constantly surrounded by things that are that we like or we dislike, or that are pleasant or unpleasant, that are agreeable or disagreeable. And if the mind drifts into the and hones into the disagreeable, the unpleasant, the things that we dislike, then we keep spinning around that. So that recognizing that, and certainly that definition of loving kindness that I've used on several occasions, of that dwelling in non-aversion is a really helpful tool. You say, oh, that metta practice, the cultivation of loving kindness and then dwelling in non-aversion, is a helpful base, because the nature of the world is such that there's, like in the classic, one of the classic sort of structures of dhammas or aspect of the teaching is they say worldly dhammas, worldly things, praise and blame, success and failure, happiness and suffering, and sort of gain and loss. These are basic sort of things that are going on all the time, and it's easy to be drawn into or overwhelmed by, say, criticism, or be fearful of criticism, and be sort of elated when we get a bit of praise, and try to sort of manipulate conditions so that there's more praise and less criticism. And, you know, more gain and less loss. And that, you know, and it's natural, but it's also energy intensive, and you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So it's much more helpful from the perspective of practice that one is, okay, there is these things. There is that which is pleasant and unpleasant. There is that which is success and failure, even whether it's material, or worldly, or in spiritual practice. Allowing that to take place and allowing it to be there without being drawn into the things that generate the unskillful tendencies or that which tends to create more agitation and suffering in the mind. And you realize that it's like watching, as I say, for myself as a young monk, watching Ajahn Chah, and it was tremendously inspiring to see somebody who was, it was like he was at the center of the universe, and just this peaceful, happy presence in the center of the universe, and things happened around him all the time, and you know, people praised him, people criticized him, people were drawn to him. Many people drawn to him, but then of course, some people would be, monks would be ordaining out of inspiration, monks would be leaving out of frustration and disillusionment, sort of like, and Ajahn Chah was just always happy. It was like this. It was just, So it was. You realize, oh, that's really possible in the human condition. That one doesn't need to have conditions always sort of perfect. That's like Ajahn Chah really didn't have he didn't have a life of his own. He was just sort of there for people. He wasn't looking to have anything special for himself. Yeah. So that was, I think, the nature of the world is such that there's always things that are maybe jar or great, and there's things that are pleasant. And one has to, one obviously doesn't go around trying to find the things that are jarring and grating just to sort of test oneself or to make oneself strong, sort of thing. We've got enough in ordinary circumstances. But then, okay, how to work with that, with letting go, with loving kindness. Those are the tools.